Let's see, we're at the home of Mrs. Marilyn Young in Woodward, Oklahoma. It's November 6th, 2000, just around 2 o'clock, and I'm Stephen Kite.
Exactly.
Okay, good. And anyway, yeah, that just helps us find out what we... So, how long have you lived in this area, then?
My father moved here in the fall of 28, I believe it was. And 28 or 29. I went kindergarten and all through high school.
Right here?
All those years.
Where did your parents come here from?
My parents were married at that time, before that time. And my father was always trying to earn money. He was an abstractor. He could get a job wherever he wanted to.
Now that deals with land titles, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Making those legal papers, and he'd also worked in a bank, but he never seemed to make as much money as he wanted to. And they went to California for a while. They drove a Model T car that my mother had won, selling merchandise at a general store in Kiowa, Kansas. And they drove to California in this car. I've got a picture of it. And my dad used to laugh and say we'd stop all the time to get milk for Marilyn and water for the radiator. And you did that, you know, in those days. The filling stations weren't so close together.
Right.
And then he was out there about a year, year and a half, and decided that to come back. And he got... went to St. Joe, Missouri, too, and worked in an abstract office. And then he got an agency for the Maytag washing machines. He had half the state when he first got it.
That was here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he realized, the roads being what they were, he couldn't handle half the state. He couldn't set up little dealers everywhere he needed to. So he cut it back, and he had that until right before he finally retired along in 1960, I guess it was, or something like that. But it made a good living.
He finally got the money he was looking for, or finally got...
He invested in land
with
his profits. And there was a lot of... he was an interesting man. But... he had always been so sorry that his parents had not, they had homesteaded at this town of Benkelman, Nebraska, out from it, they'd homesteaded, that they hadn't kept the land. He'd always thought that was a mistake on their part.
Yeah.
You know, but hindsight is always better judgment.
It's 2020. And, well, you know, land is a good investment.
Well, his grandfather knew what he was doing, and they tried to homestead once, and they had to put a house on it, and I don't remember all the rules, but you have to do so much improvements every year. And they would be out there on the weekends at this little acreage. They were building a house. One weekend when they came back, the roof had been stolen.
Stolen?
Stolen. And that was very discouraging.
Yeah.
So... they didn't stay to bring in the land.
What year was... No, what?
I don't know. I'd have to look up her records.
Yeah. So was that your grandparents?
That was my grandparents.
In Nebraska?
For pioneers in Brinkelman, Nebraska. We drove through it once. But...
And then your parents?
My parents. My mother was raised on a farm that my grandfather had homesteaded in the run, and he didn't get the land that a widow lady had beat him to it. So he came back a few weeks later and bought it from her.
Oh, was this the Cherokee Outlet run?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the land is still in one of his descendants, which is nice. It's a 100-year farm.
Wow. Was that around here?
No, it was up by north of Alva, between Alva and Kiowa. I doubt if you've ever heard of Kiowa.
I get up in there quite a bit.
Okay. It's a neat little town.
You ever heard of Deerhead in Etna?
I've heard of it, but I've never been there.
There's nothing there anymore.
It's one of the interesting town names.
Yeah. I drove through there about 15 years ago. There was an old school building. Mm-hmm. That was it. And it was abandoned. And then I drove through there about 2 years ago, and it was gone.
Even that was.
So Deerhead is... If you heard of that, you're doing real good.
Interesting names.
So your family then had a farming background?
Well, my dad never farmed. He invested in land. He never could, I don't think, hit a nail with a hammer, but he could see the potential. He was a good bookkeeper.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed that. And he... he bought a land. He has had a farm up at Kiowa, but that's leased and all. But he never actively farmed. He's a good man, but he was not. He knew what should be done, but he had to hire all his work done.
Well, that's smart, rather than trying to just plow on with something you weren't going to be able to succeed at.
Well, when you don't know exactly how to fix a tractor, fix a plow, all farmers have to be repairmen.
Yeah. So he said, enough of that. I'm going into the abstract business.
Well, he could always do that. He had several different lines of business.
All right. And then I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, what year were you born?
I was born in 1922 in Kiowa, Kansas.
All right.
At the time, my dad was working at the bank there. And I don't have it out, but at the time he worked at the bank, the employee, the treasurer, could sign some kind of a cashier's check. And I have one with his signature on it.
Your dad's?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I thought it was nice of him to think ahead far enough to see that would be an interesting keepsake.
I don't know him, of course, from Adam, but he seemed to have a sense of vision.
I had it on the wall, and the sun has faded it, so I had it away.
You can buy film that you can put over that's UV resistant.
But I didn't know that.
Well, that's kind of new. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes.
So then, when they moved here, you were just in your...
It was before I went to kindergarten. And at the time I went to kindergarten, it was a private kindergarten over on the north side of town, and it was run by Mrs. Lawn. I'll have to think of her name. Her son is the one who... painted the artwork in the rotunda of the museum, and she wrote a book later on called Stars in My Dust. Anyway, it was about her pioneer days in Woodward. She came here with her husband. She had been raised in the South. She came here in a wagon, and she talked about boarding the river in a wagon.
Right.
And he was a lawyer here in Woodward, Mr. Lawn.
We tried to get into the museum. It was closed.
It's closed on Mondays.
We didn't know that.
They had somebody there. Most museums worldwide are closed on Monday.
Oh, you live and learn.
Yes. If they're closed any day at all, that's usually the day.
Well, Joyce at the museum was so helpful.
Mm-hmm. She is.
In helping us to... get names and introductions and come out here.
But that book that she wrote, Stars, and it's parked somewhere back in the bedroom or the closet where the shelves are, is a real good description of the early days in Woodward.
Long? Is that
Lawn, L-A-W-N.
Oh, just like it sounds. Okay.
She was a darling little lady.
And did you have any brothers or sisters out here? Only child out here?
My cousins called me a spoiled only brat. And I tried to live up to it.
Good enough. You might as well if they're going to call you that. So it was a small family living out here then, you and your father?
We had lots of relatives up at Kiowa. Mm-hmm. And every holiday, my mother and her brothers, we were either up there or they were down here. I never felt an absence of relatives.
An extended family. Mm-hmm. That's good. You can have it so close. And did you live in town?
Mm-hmm.
In a called residential area?
The house is still here. We lived, when they first came to town, they lived in a rooming house until they could find some place. And that house is down on Texas. And then they rented a house to have a house instead of just a room.
Right.
And then they bought a house, and it was at 715 Walnut, and the people have taken good care of it. It looks nice. And then they, later on, quite a while, because I graduated from high school from there, bought another house. So, you know how people upgrade.
Right. I guess this is an upgrade from your 715 Walnut.
Well, this was a three-story house. It had a basement and two bedrooms upstairs. And one room that was not finished off at that time, but had been plumbed for a bathroom, which was unusual in those days to have a bathroom upstairs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was a good house to be when the tornado came, and that's where we were, because it was no damage. Well, this part of town really was harmed.
Yeah. Now that was you're talking about the late...
The 47.
Yeah.
This area was a pasture at that time. Only over there on Hillcrest to about where Oak comes into it, were there any homes. But the rest of this is all new since 1947.
Which is kind of a blessing, I guess, because if it had been here, it wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Would you describe your house that you grew up in? And the house on Walnut, was it, you lived in it from the time you were born?
Until I was about 4 years old. 4 or 5 is when we moved there. I remember I had chicken pox or something, and the little girl next door did too, so we got to play together.
Right.
Even though we were sick. It had one bedroom downstairs and 2 bedrooms upstairs. At that time, nobody had air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know. And my father had, one of the reasons he came south was he didn't like the Iowa winters, because he'd been raised in Iowa. Despite this little 10-year trip in Benkelman, he was raised in Atlantic Iowa. And he didn't like that cold weather. So we had a coal stove in the basement, one of those furnace things.
Right.
That you shoveled coal into. And every fall or whenever the coal truck would come and deliver all this coal, I thought it was interesting.
It would pour it down a chute,
mm-hmm,
into the basement?
To a special room. But my dad wasn't terribly fond of putting the coal in the furnace either, so I must not have been over 8 when he put in a gas furnace.
Well, I thought you were going to say he had you down there.
No, but a gas furnace, and we used the registers that were already in the house for the coal furnace, which were on the floor.
That ended the coal shoveling.
Uh-huh. And was much cleaner.
Right. I remember it seemed like those old coal furnaces put out a lot of soot, and a lot of dirt.
They did. Yeah, Daddy really liked that furnace. He thought it was so neat to just push his finger and the house could get warm.
Was that a fairly luxurious convenience when you had that installed? I mean, had many people gone to gas at that point?
You know, I don't know. I just remember when he did it and how much he enjoyed it.
Right.
But I don't know what our... the friends I had, some of them had lovely homes, some of them didn't, but those were friends regardless of what they... That didn't seem to be important.
Would you say that you were in mid-level
I would think so. I would think so. We were not. One winter, I do remember this because I was I was in school, and we spent the whole winter evenings in the kitchen. That was the only room we heated, the kitchen and the bathroom. We slept upstairs, didn't heat those rooms because of the depression.
Right. It would get expensive to heat.
Uh-huh. And that was the only room that we used electric lights to save this money.
Now, at that time, he was working with Maytag.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
And he had put his office with the he didn't sell many of them. He traded things for them. But with a man across the street, for one winter, they had their offices together. And I can't remember what that man did. I think he was some kind of an electrician or a repairman, but I don't know what.
You were pretty young when the depression really came on.
I was between, banks were closed, was that 28? I kind of think it might have been. We came here before the bank because my mother had $36 in one bank that closed and didn't open up.
Oh.
And she begrudged that.
And she lost it.
She lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had a next door neighbor who had been cashier of that bank, and he lost all his money too.
And he even worked in the bank.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that was sad about it too, the man who'd owned the bank, Mr. Stein, he had invested the bank's capital in some bonds that proved to be good. But because they were German bonds, the word German.
Yeah. That was World War I.
It was before World War II.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the ins and outs were, but the bonds proved to be good, but it didn't do any of those people any good, and it didn't do that little man any good either.
Well, he invested in German.
But he had invested his money in bonds that proved, and my husband's talked about that. The German bonds were good, but the government didn't recognize them.
So away the money went.
It was Roosevelt was mm-hmm. the president that closed all the banks for 3 days or something while they got their affairs.
All right, the bank holiday, they called it.
And I think there might have been a little politics there.
Yeah, I think so. Just like always, anytime something happens big like that.
That little people out here can't do anything about.
Did your mom ever trust banks after that?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't step her money in.
She also trusted keeping it in the sock or something under the bed.
Yeah.
For a long time, people didn't trust banks.
Hmm. Well, I guess $36 if you had to lose something.
$36, you could have lived on it for 2 or 3 months. I mean by that, eaten.
Right.
A family could have eaten.
Did your mom work?
No. Except at home, but that's pretty good work.
That was poorly phrased.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so your mom was always around the house when you were growing up, before you went to school and everything?
Mm-hmm.
And just it was just you and her then, and
yes.
various
uh-huh.
relatives.
And her friends and my friends.
Do you remember, we were speaking of entertainment and what you would do for fun during that time period when money might be a little tight? Yeah. Or.
Well, I usually got to go to the movie once a week, which was 10 cents. It was 10 cents here, it was 10 cents up at Kiowa, even. And at Kiowa... We always got 10 cents to buy candy with, too. They had a really great candy store.
So you get 20 cents and you get movie and candy and,
mm-hmm.
and a good time in town.
And it was interesting. But yes, the movies were 10 cents whether you went on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, and I wasn't allowed to go out at night, so.
It was matinees.
That was when they had the, let me think if I can get it right. The two brothers who had the picture show business here in Woodward, the Terrys were their name, Ben and Dwight. They put, I guess business was bad on Wednesday night for going to the movies. So they instituted some kind of a giveaway on Wednesday night. And a jackpot thing, and then if nobody won it, you had to be present, why then it would build up. And after it had built up a few weeks, they really had pretty good business.
Yeah, I bet it was packed. Night, so. You remember how big the jackpot was?
No.
$10? Or,
it would start out that way, but it would get up to be maybe over 100, and that's a lot of money.
And it was 10 cents to get in?
For me. For adults, it was 25.
25-cent ticket to win 100 bucks. That's a good deal.
If it had built up.
Right.
And it did now and then.
Do you remember any of the movies you saw, or any come to mind at all?
It happened one night.
Yeah?
That was one of the first, they called them talkies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. Another thing Terry's did to encourage people to come to the movies, he would take his own movie camera, 16 millimeter, and go up and down Main Street and take just people and then show them in the movies. And of course, people enjoyed seeing themselves.
Right.
And they have been a nice historical item to have here in Woodward. His son showed some of those about a year ago. And we sat around and tried to name people because, of course, he hadn't made a listing with each roll of film.
Right.
With the names. And was wondering if there was any way to get a grant or to get some help, because it would be neat to have it at the museum with the correct names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just a slice of life. Uh-huh. You can get a picture of who was here and kind of what they look like.
And their clothes.
That's something important most people wouldn't think
and
of.
And the automobiles that they were driving up and down the street.
Right. What kind of clothes they wear is always interesting, I think.
Well, people were so dressed up, men as well as women, but most women and men wore hats in the daytime all the time.
I have to tell you, I'm glad that's gone.
I think it would be strange too.
Yeah. Have to, you know, be so conscious of what you're wearing, you know.
Hats and ties.
So what else would you do for fun when you were young? Games you'd play or...
That's when Monopoly became so famous and important, because it was so cheap and it was a board game that was interesting.
Yeah.
And adults could play it along with kids and enjoy it. But I remember we had Monopoly games set up in different houses at times that would go on for like a couple of weeks before it was over, and you'd go after school and play Monopoly and finish it off, you know, later on when somebody won all the...
It is a long-lasting game.
Uh-huh. That was a popular game. And in the summertime, we went swimming out at Crystal Beach.
Could you describe that a little bit?
It was lots of fun. Although, at that time, we would walk out there. You know, and it was still hot and all that, but it didn't seem so hot because the temperature when you're young and the temperature when you're old is a different temperature.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I could ever get my kids to walk out to Crystal Beach, but we did it a lot.
How far would you say that was?
Well, it hasn't changed.
I don't know where it is.
I was supposed to have... Oh, well, have you been by where they're putting up Crystal Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. We swam in that lake.
All right. So
the lake hasn't moved.
Okay.
I'd say half a mile.
There used to be a beach and slides.
Mm-hmm. There was a sand beach and a wonderful slide. I'd wear out a bathing suit every summer. So did everybody else. And a diving platform with high and low. And lifeguards and a raft out in the... Not too far out, but out to swim to.
That sounds like
and picnic tables.
So families would just go out there for the day, for the weekend,
or
for Saturday.
The evening.
Yeah.
For the evening.
It would keep you cool during the summer.
It was a neat place to have picnics, and kids swam in the evenings as well as all day.
And you were...
And for $3, I had a season ticket to swim. And that took care of having to pay for it. Otherwise, I think it was 10 cents a swim. But I'm not real sure about that. There was a family that ran the swimming pool and the concession stand that lived in a house that was close to Crystal Beach, hired by the city.
Hmm. So you'd have a season pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your, basically, was your summer entertainment. You would just head out there with the movies. Or Monopoly.
And all the other card games that were around.
You would, I was trying to figure out how old you would have been when the dust storm started.
Well, that would have been 32, I presume.
Yeah. Up through
as I remember, around the fourth grade.
Can you remember your memories of a dust storm or what you were thinking when you first saw one?
Only that the dust was blowing.
I gotta tell you,
I never thought of it too bad.
I've seen pictures of them.
Mm-hmm. And they look a lot worse.
They
scare
the bejesus out of me right now.
That's not what they look like. The pictures made them like pictures in a fog.
Yeah.
Okay, they weren't that. Here, they were not that fog looking. You wouldn't be able to see this blue sky. But I don't know. It's just like being poor. It didn't seem so different. I didn't know that they hadn't had them every year.
Yeah, it was just something you kind of grew up
with. And they were only in the spring, as I remember. And sometimes they would come with a lot of wind. Other times they just seemed to drift in. It was a phenomenon.
Do you remember the first time you saw that happening? It was so...
No.
Do you remember...
It was just like weather.
So nothing unusual in the household, like the dust coming in?
Oh, the dust. It upset my mother. And every time, in the afternoon or evening or whatever, she'd go around and wipe off the windowsills, doorways. In fact, my parents, installed weather stripping in about the second year around the doors and the windows, and that helped.
Yeah.
Little pieces of felt, you know, tacked along.
Yeah, and that kind of kept it...
It sure did help. Windows nowadays are built so much tighter.
Yeah.
We have such good windows compared to what those poor people had, even with the weather stripping.
I've lived in some old houses.
Mm-hmm.
And that wind will come right through.
Uh-huh. Feel it.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
So I can imagine how much dust would get in.
Yes. And my mother was like all the women, I think.
So you were saying that the heat and the wind, the dust, heat, the
that
dust.
That was the worst part. None of this really affected me as a child. I just remember my mother complaining about it and my father because I didn't have any kind of allergy or asthma. The dust didn't make me cough. I don't know why. I think it would nowadays because I do have allergies.
I wonder if your physical health now is... Could be.
I don't think so, because when we moved to South Texas, which certainly had no dust, that's when the allergy started.
Oh.
It was all the dampness, I thought.
It was Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any extra chores to do because of the dust in the house, or do you remember sweeping any at all, or doing any extra cleaning because of that?
I got to help her wipe out the window sills, but then I had to do that anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
All girls did housework.
Did you have friends? You mentioned that you had some friends who were perhaps less well off than you and some...
I did. I had friends whose mothers worked, like they had beauty shop in their home and things like that, but it didn't seem so outlandish.
Right. Do you think as a child you were oblivious to this, all this stuff going around you?
I sure was. I was... Not at all aware of any kind of class distinctions.
Yeah, well, that's the magic of childhood, maybe.
One of my friends had a household where they had a living maid. Well, it didn't seem like that they were any better off than anybody else. I should have connected it, but
So you had friends who basically lived in their kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Then you had another friend who had a live-in maid.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in the middle.
And it didn't seem to me that they were really any different, because they had to... She might have had more clothes, but it wasn't that apparent.
Yeah. So the Dust Bowl, in your mind then, wasn't that big of a deal when you were a child.
It was a dreadful thing for the farmers who were involved in it, and a lot of people did lose their land and go to California or someplace, I guess.
Right.
But part of it was because of the homesteading that they had done in the early days. They'd plowed up land that was not suitable for being plowed up.
Yeah.
And it was a hard lesson to learn. And that's what it was, a learning lesson.
Did your father's business, I'm sure he depended on some of those farmers for mm-hmm. his business.
The reason he did so well in the Maytag business, the Maytag company came out with a gasoline-powered engine that ran a washing machine. A washing machine that could be kept on the back porch of a farm house. And most women were able to start it. It would run. They could wash their clothes easily. Before then, there was no way except by scrubbing.
So they were the first ones to really come out with a...
With one that worked.
Easy to use, reliable.
There were some other washing machine brands that did that, but not as... And I'm sure I'm indoctrinated, but it was an excellent brand. And in the early 50s, there was somebody who came through this part of the country making a government survey on the type of people that lived out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that at that time, there were so few people of any other racial... We didn't have Indians. The Indians kind of stopped down at Sealing.
Right.
They don't come up here. We didn't have, it was before we had any Mexicans, except two or three families that the railroad employed.
Mm-hmm.
There were no others. No black people. And I don't really know why. And this, I think that's why they were making the survey. Well, there weren't jobs. But this guy visited us one evening. He said he was so amazed. In every farmhouse, when he stopped, and they said, he said 100% Maytags. They all, everybody had a Maytag.
Probably your dad's.
Uh-huh. Because it was such an aid to women. They could use it even in a house that did not have electricity. They could use it in a house that did not have running water.
Right.
It's hard to explain to somebody what an important advancement it was for these people who lived out here, because so many of them did not have electricity or running water. We had them in town.
Yeah. You had electricity and running water in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But out on the farm,
and I didn't
totally
know
different story.
Everybody in Woodward had it at that time.
Yeah.
I remember when... hearing about when the rural electrification came in during Roosevelt's time, mm-hmm. and there was a special time when people who had it were to turn it off and to all turn it back on again at one time.
What was that about?
To signify.
Oh, like turning it off and
the
then everybody.
Light coming.
Yeah. Wow.
It was another wonderful event.
I didn't know about that. I knew of his rural electrification projects. Mm-hmm.
But read that now, whether or not it's true. But I think it would just be so wonderful if you weren't used to it.
Yeah. I know on television it always says that the Maytag repairmen are lonely people.
They do. They do.
Well, that's interesting. It's interesting to hear the perspective of the Dust Bowl as told from a 10-year-old's eyes.
Because the wind blew, it blew, but it always blows out here. If you're going to live here, it's, I don't know how you get used to it. I'm not used to it now.
It's blowing hard today.
I don't like the wind.
How did you, I got a question for you then. Why are you still here?
Because this is where our assets are.
Yeah.
My husband has a farm that his grandfather, while he didn't homestead it, he came down here from Nebraska with a herd of goats.
And my
husband's father.
Father.
Uh-huh. And we've still got it, and he hopes to apply for and get recognition for a 100-year farm next year.
So he came down from Nebraska with a goat herd.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be 1901 or 1900?
I presume it would be.
Yeah, that's an interesting tale right there.
Well, yes, he landed someplace up by Fort Supply for a year or so before he got this place. And when he came to the farm, we still have the farmhouse that his grandfather put in.
Wow.
And it was, they enlarged it once, and they enlarged it by bringing another house and attaching it. It's, if you stick your head up in the attic, you can see the two different roofs.
How funny.
I think so, too.
It's something you wouldn't do today.
You know,
just stick two houses together. Well, probably be some legal reason why you couldn't do it.
I don't know about that. But but anyway, the house at that time faced the north because the road went along that way. And Indians would come by. And his grandmother was able to help them sometimes. She could, you know, not everybody went to the doctor.
Right.
But then the railroad came along, the Katy Railroad, and they put up a track. Well, that made their house, that took away the old road, the road to town,
all
the
right.
road to Woodward. So they had, then they were on the inside of their acreage, and the new road was put in. The new road is what it's called Lakeside. It's an edge of town out here by. But I think that's so funny that the house now is on the inside of the farm. When it was originally built, it was on a road.
Right.
A road to town.
Yeah, now it's tucked away
mm-hmm.
back in there.
You can hardly see it from the road.
You were mentioning about the Indians coming along, sometimes being helped. It brought up in my mind, I was thinking of like hobos or tramps, kind of, you know, itinerant people moving around. Did you have many of those in?
Well, my mother, we lived just a half a block from what was the road, the highway through town. 8th Street used to be the highway where now it's 9th Street, so it moved over a block. And there were, we lived on the edge of town at that time. Town moved out.
Right.
Okay, we had not only hobos, but the gypsies used to camp just about 2 blocks away.
Gypsies.
But the hobos, mother would always feed them, but she always got a little work out of them.
Yeah, some people have different attitudes towards that. You know, they'll just want to feed them and get them on their way. Mm-hmm. Or they'll, like your mother, they'll feed them and say, okay, now you better, you know, clean out the chicken house or do
Or leaf raking. Spade up a garden or, yeah, pull weeds, something like that.
So you remember having men around? And
but they wouldn't be there over a couple of hours.
Right, just looking for work and a sandwich.
And she would always fix a great big plateful. So.
You think your house had a reputation among the hobos as a good place to stop in?
I think so, because the woman next door wouldn't feed them.
That's funny. That's an odd time, you know, when just knocking on a door asking for a meal is uh-huh. something you would do.
And we, whether or not they went down to the train and hitched rides, I don't know, because I've always thought of hobos being near a railroad.
Right.
And not really near a highway, but we had them.
Do you remember any of your friends or your friends' families losing friends, perhaps, by them moving out of going to, pulling out and going to different states? Or
I'll tell you what happened to the people that lived on the other side. When I was in the second grade, this woman and her husband and three children moved into this house. And she had a job. She was going to be the second grade school teacher in the Woodward school system. They moved here from someplace south, and I should know, but I don't, because she was from a large family. And he couldn't find work. One Sunday noon, he goes out in the garage and shoots himself.
Yeah, that's...
So when you say... And that left her with these three children to raise. One of them was my age, and then two older ones.
Huh.
And they never had a car. Even when the boys got... The oldest boy worked in this shoe store for you from the time he was old enough to work. But he was not allowed to have a car. And that was just fine. He went with the girl who had a car. So it affected their life.
Yeah. That's a real loss. I mean, that's an actual loss right there. I mean, it's
yes. Within a year, if he'd waited longer and not become so discouraged. But there was an attitude at that time, too, that the school administration did their best not to hire a school teacher if there was a man also teaching school. And there's no two teachers in one family.
Oh.
Two incomes.
All right. So she had come here.
She had a job. He wasn't a school teacher. He didn't have that kind of an education.
Yeah.
I don't know what he would have done. I was too little to know.
That kind of says something about the attitudes of men working.
Uh-huh.
That's changed a little bit today.
A lot. They talk about it takes two families to support, you know, a family, yeah. Two wage earners.
Right. And he...
But there was a long time when a woman had to have a real important skill to keep a job if her husband had a paying job.
Right. Otherwise they wouldn't have two wage earners there. Wow, I wasn't expecting that story to come out of my question.
Well...
Yeah, you never know. So, you grew up here... And then you went to high school here,
mm-hmm.
and graduated, and you met your husband here,
mm-hmm.
in Woodward. And was he...
His father was a lawyer and worked. He was county attorney and then later on county judge.
His father was?
Mm-hmm.
So
he never had a law practice of his own, not an independent law practice.
Right. And your husband grew up in this area as well?
Mm-hmm.
Was raised or born and raised here?
Mm-hmm.
Does his images or remembrances, do they jive with yours at
his
all?
Are better than mine about individual people and a number of things.
Yeah. You mean his memory's better, or he has better recollection? I mean, he more fondly.
He remembers being hungry. And things like that that I had no memory of.
Is he older than you a little bit?
2 years.
So not that much.
His family just wasn't as well to do.
Yeah.
They lived on this farm that out there. It's a neat farm in the fact that I think it's the oldest house in Woodward County that's been maintained all those years.
Huh.
Because we maintain it too.
Yeah.
It's handy to have. Jim has cattle, and in the wintertime, it's a good place to get in out of the cold and try and keep it reasonably clean. There isn't a thing in that house that's plumb. The doors, the floor, the walls.
I guess that's to be expected from an old house like that. So, well, it sounds like you were able to scoot through that time with not much.
I had no suffering, and I'm not... Jim's family had chickens and eggs and milk. They had cows they milked and all that. I didn't know him in those days. I didn't know him until high school.
There's a book out about the Depression era. It's called We Had Everything But Money.
That's just about the way of it, because when you think that, and I've got a cookbook, and it says you buy 15 cents worth of round steak and tells of this elaborate casserole.
And that's the recipe, 15 cents worth of round steak.
15 cents worth of round steak. Well, tonight you wouldn't get a piece of fat.
There wouldn't be much meat in that casserole. All right. Well, I have maybe one wrap-up question would be, if you think back in that time period that people considered, you know, the Dirty 30s and mm-hmm. the Dust Bowl and Depression, what memory or memories to you are the, maybe not the fondest, but stick out in your mind? Is like, what would you, you know, memories characterize that time period for you? I mean, is there one thing in particular that you remember?
Those are just childhood memories. I can't imagine them being any different memories if I'd lived in California where the weather was perfect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you remember one, even if you had no tragic memories, I mean, something that you remember fondly or some certain aspect of your childhood that sticks out? For instance, one man I was talking to said that his family was poor. But he said, when he was in first grade, he remembers it being so hot out here. And his dad splurged and bought them all a big, tall, ice-cold bottle of pop, orange soda pop. And that was the first time he'd ever had a drink of that in his life. And he remembers that to that day.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. And, you know, something that sticks out in your mind as being special or interesting. Maybe the lack of something like that is a good thing.
Well, I don't. My dad liked to travel, so we went to the World's Fair in Chicago.
Well, there you go.
I saw Sally Rand.
No way. I know who she is.
I didn't see her in Chicago. My cousins got to see her, but we would go to visit my grandmother in Iowa, and we'd come back by the Maytag office in Kansas City, and my dad loved to go to the vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
My mother liked to go shopping. I much preferred going to the vaudeville with Daddy, and we saw Sally Rand.
Fan dancer, right? That's what she was known for.
Yes, we saw her, and we saw two or three other people that went on to become movie stars. But yes, it was a beautiful dance, and it was so dark, I'm not sure that very much was exposed.
Yeah, that's funny, they would let you in, or they wouldn't think anything about you going. How old were you then? When was the World's Fair?
I have no idea. The World's Fair in Chicago. I've got a little memento out at the farm.
Oh, I should know when that was.
But anyway, all my relatives went. We went one year, and then they went another time, and did it all as cheaply as possible. I know they rented an apartment, and all of them stayed in this one apartment, three kids and two sets of adults. And we stayed in a hotel downtown, and then we stayed with a friend of mother's out in an apartment house.
Yeah, that was in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then on the way back through, you went through Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. And we got to go to the zoo in Chicago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's still supposed to be a good zoo.
Yeah, it is.
And we did that every year, go through Kansas City. When I was 12 years old, I could walk around downtown Kansas City and knew where I was.
Yeah?
All the time, because we stayed in a hotel there.
I was wanting to talk to you a little bit about maybe what your first, or when your first job in Woodward was, or did...
Oh, I had to work for my dad.
Yeah?
He had a furniture store along with the Maytags, and that darn furniture always needed dusting. And I did that in simple bookkeeping.
Yeah. You remember were you paid at all, or would he just make sure you got enough food?
I don't know. I don't remember particularly getting paid, but I probably did.
Maybe you earned your movie and candy money and
I wasn't on an allowance. I probably was spoiled that way. It was more of a, I don't know. I really don't know how much money I was allowed each week, but I did go to the movies even when I got to be 12 years old, and the movie had gone up to, by that time, to 35 cents.
Well, now it's getting up there.
From 25 to 35.
Yeah. It's funny how now movies, now they have bargain movies, or they're a dollar.
I know.
They're coming back down again.
If you're in New York City, they're 6 and 7 and 8.
Oh, yeah.
Bucks.
All right. Well, I think, oh, do you remember anything about your parents' politics at all?
Yes.
All right, that's another,
easy. That's another thing my dad was so strong about, and I'll tell you about my grandfather in Kiowa. He disliked Mr. Roosevelt so much, and he's the one that brought in daylight saving time.
Yep.
He refused to ever change his clock.
He was such an anti-Democrat, anti-Roosevelt.
Yes.
And what about your father?
My father was a Republican.
Yep.
Mother was a little bit of a Democrat, but I think more to tease him than anything else.
Well, it seems like during those times you either really loved Roosevelt or you despised him.
Yes, we had a radio, and I remember we listened to all his speeches.
With your dad back there yelling at him, or?
I don't know. I don't remember any. My parents had friends who had different philosophies, and they, you know, wanted to keep the friends, so people were polite to each other about the politics.
Well, politics is one of those things you don't discuss over the dinner table.
It's rather hard to change somebody's mind.
Yeah. So the Depression era and the environmental factors didn't cause him to change his way of thinking.
Hmm.
How did he feel about the WPA and the welfare and things?
You know, I don't know how he felt about it. And yet I know people who had really saved him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Hmm. Well, you were fairly young at
that
point.
I was too young. And he was able to make a living without having to resort to that kind of. So that part was lucky.
Yeah.
And my relatives at Kiowa were too.
You mentioned that you remember one winter when you kind of centralized.
When we stayed in this kitchen.
Was that just, I mean, the sales maybe had slowed down and he was kind of economizing a little bit?
They had to have.
Right.
They had to have done that. Now, when the relatives came on Thanksgiving or Christmas, then we heated the whole house.
Right.
But not any other time.
And that was only, you remember just once?
I just remember it the one year, but it could have been 2 years. You know, I don't believe it was, but it could have been.
And you, in your child's mind, you didn't associate that with anything
it
in particular?
Didn't, just because some friends that I'd visit, they would do the same thing.
Right.
It was common.
With the price of natural gas coming up, I might do the same thing this year.
Are you married? Could you do that?
I'm not married, but just me and my dog will be in the kitchen. Well, all right. I think that runs through our questions, at least the ones that I think would be attainable here. Do you think of anything?
You know, some
questions?
People would put up that clause when you said preparing for dusters by covering the worst windows with a damp cloth to catch the dust.
Yeah.
And it would.
Now, I would guess that in that aspect, maybe it would help your dad out. If they were always getting their clothes dirty.
Clothes dirty.
They'd be buying some Maytags.
I never heard of any signals from animals.
Sometimes people said that their animals would act a little differently if there was a storm approaching.
I can see where they might. I was reading an article the other day where some dogs are able to tell when a person is going to have an epileptic seizure.
Right. I saw that same thing. Uh-huh. I was on television.
I think that's a nice thing. I hope they can find more of them.
And this one, you know,
And then where it says, how do you feel about the era today? Well, if they had those plowed up fields, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah.
And I have no nightmares.
yeah, some people who lived right in the middle of really bad ones, you know, have had reoccurring mm-hmm. nightmares afterwards.
We're a few miles away from where the really worst era was.
Right.
So we're just, okay. I can just remember that big cloud up there, but it wasn't anything to be scared of. Hmm. And sometimes the dirt would come in without it being windy.
Just settle in, filter in.
Mm-hmm. Just the dirt came without the wind. I don't.
Well, bad or not, it seems like an odd time to live through.
Well, I mean, anybody's childhood has got some interesting memories.